Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We're going to be talking about the supernatural God today, and I hope, beloved, that this message strikes a note with you and that you receive it into your heart. And if you don't believe that our God is a supernatural God, I encourage you to get down on your knees and just ask God to reveal himself to you in every way that he can. Just open yourself up to receive everything God has for you. And beloved, you will know that God is a supernatural God. You're going to see him move in your life in ways that he never has before. You're going to see him break off chains of bondage and despair and disappointment and procrastination, and you will know that the God that we serve is a supernatural God. You will know that the God of the Bible isn't just a historical God, and we don't just read about him for history's sake and for good account of things that happened in the past, but he is the God of today. He is the God of your life today, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we praise him for that. We thank him for what he's doing in our life. Well, in Acts, the second chapter, we're looking at the New Testament church, the baby church that was started off on the day of Pentecost. And it says in Acts 2:43, "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common." Well, the people who had seen the miraculous day of Pentecost, the people who had been there when the Holy Spirit was poured out, realized that something great and mighty had just happened, and many of them, 3,000 total, came to know the Lord Jesus. They came to accept Jesus after Peter got up and preached that great evangelism message, and 3,000 of them came to know the Lord, and it says many were in great fear because they heard all of these apostles and disciples speaking in tongues and speaking the message of the gospel. These unlearned, uneducated, unsophisticated men were speaking with boldness. They were speaking the truth, and they were speaking the message of the gospel that Jesus saves, that Jesus went to the cross and died for them and shed his precious blood for them. And so great fear came upon them, and it says many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Well, we go on to chapter 3, and immediately we see here one of the signs and wonders that was displayed through the apostles. Chapter 3, "Now Peter and John went together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and Peter, fixing his eyes on him, said, 'Look at us.'" And verse 5, "So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them, and then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, that is the cripple, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Well, beloved, that is the God that I serve. That is the God that I know. I pray that you would believe in the supernatural God. If your religion is stale religion, and if you have been told that we no longer need miracles, that miracles are no longer a part of God's plan for his believers today, that the church doesn't need miracles because we have the canonized scripture or some other reason why men give this explanation that we don't need miracles, I pray that you just discard that thinking from your mind, that you get rid of that thinking, you rebuke it, and you repent of your unbelief in a God of the supernatural. You repent of your unbelief in the God of miracles. And if you will do that, God will open up your eyes to see miracles. He will open up your eyes to believe for things greater than you can explain yourself. He will open up your eyes to believe for great healings. He will open up your eyes to see salvations of people that you never thought could be saved. And so, beloved, I just want to reinforce in your mind today and in your heart that our God is a supernatural God. He is a God that wants to do miracles in your life. And, beloved, I have seen some great miracles. It's not because I'm any great prayer warrior or any great preacher or evangelist. I have just believed with the innocence of a child, and I have been in places where I have prayed for people, and I've had the opportunity to see God do some miraculous things in people's lives. I was in Costa Rica. I'll tell you a little story of what happened in 2009. I was in Costa Rica, and we were given the opportunity to pray for a pastor who was very sick. We had been holding a revival meeting in this little village church out in the jungle of southern Costa Rica. We'd been there for 5 days, and on the last day, the pastor didn't show up. And so the elders of the church came to me after the meeting, and they said, Brother Jim, would you go down and pray for Ricardo? He's very sick. And so we went down to his little hut there, just about 200 feet from the church. And when I walked into the hut, I realized that this was the place, this was the scene that had been prophesied over me before I left for Costa Rica. One of my prayer warriors had prophesied over me that signs, wonders, and miracles would follow me even to see the dead raised. And so when I walked into that pastor's hut, the candlelight was lighting the room in a very dim light, and I walked over to the pastor's bed, and the blanket was pulled up over his head, and I heard those words echo in my ears that signs, wonders, and miracles would follow me even to see the dead raised. And I knew this was the situation. I knew this was the scene that God was bringing me to bring that prophetic word to pass. And so we sat down and we kneeled down on the floor, the dirt floor of this little hut, and we started to pray for this pastor. And eventually, after about 15 or 20 minutes of prayer, I saw the Holy Spirit of God come into him, and it just picked up his chest. He started to breathe, and I knew then that he had been dead. I had tried to find a pulse. I had tried to see if there was any breathing, and there wasn't prior to the prayer. And then when we saw his chest picked up by the Holy Spirit and breath came into him, he started to breathe. The living God was in him, and God gave him back his life right there in front of our very eyes. And so I know that God is a supernatural God. Another story of supernatural healing came last year when I was in Kilifi in Kenya. Some of the brothers brought this man and set him down on the front row of this meeting we were having in a neighborhood fellowship, and they sat him down on the front row. He had a cane in his hand. I knew there was something wrong with him. He looked around as if he was blind, and I knew there was something wrong with him. And when they brought him to me, they said at the end of the service, when they brought him to me, they said he has a brain tumor, and the tumor has put pressure on his eyesight, and he can't see, and he has great pain in his head because of the tumor putting pressure on his brain. And so I prayed for him, laid hands on his head and prayed for him, laid my hands on his eyes and prayed for his eyesight. Well, the next day we got a phone call from the brothers who had brought him to us, and they said this brother is starting to see lights and images, and the pressure on his brain has gone down. He's not in any pain today. And so I knew that God had given him a healing. I knew that his eyesight was coming back, and that his brain tumor was shrinking and maybe gone altogether. I don't know. We had no way to get x-rays or CAT scans or any of that type of modern stuff. We just trusted the Lord that the Lord was going to heal him, and it appeared to me that the Lord healed him 100%. And so I have seen it with my own eyes, the signs, wonders, and miracles. I have seen it, and you will see it too if you start to pray for people, if you believe in faith that God is a supernatural God, you will start to see God do miraculous things, not only in the lives of others that you pray for, but also in your own life as well. Well, we go on over to Acts, the fifth chapter, in verse 12. This is another situation in the early New Testament church where Peter was ministering to the people. And in verse 12 it says, "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." And in verse 14, "And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them." And verse 16, "And also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were with unclean spirits, and they were all healed." And so this account tells us that just the shadow of Peter falling on people caused them to be healed, that he didn't even have to touch them. It was just the shadow. As the shadow fell on them, they were healed of their infirmity. And also a multitude gathered, and the sick and those with unclean spirits came out, and it said they were all healed. Well, it doesn't tell us if anybody laid hands on them and prayed for them, or what specific methodology was enacted upon them. It just says that they were all healed. And so that is God's will. That is God's wish. If you're beset by sickness, if you're beset by tormenting spirits, night terrors, nightmares, if you're beset by addictions and bondage and you can't seem to break through, you can't seem to break the chains of those things off of your life, you cry out to God. Get down on your knees and cry out to God. Repent of the things that you know are not bringing glory to God. Repent of those things that you know are sin and separating you from God. And as you clean out your conscience and you cleanse yourself before God, He will open up His heart to you. And He will open up your heart and give you the gifts that you desire. Delight yourself in the Lord. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And so as you trust God for miraculous things, as you trust Him for healings and deliverance and supernatural blessings in your life, beloved, it will come if you just keep seeking the Lord. You keep speaking positive word. You keep speaking the word of God over your life and rebuke those negative things. Rebuke the devil when he tries to speak fear and sickness and destruction and death into your life. You just praise God and you thank Him, and you keep believing for those things that God wants to give you, and you keep rebuking those things that the devil wants to give you, and you will be set free, you will be healed, you will be delivered, and you will see the God of the miraculous show up in your life. Well, the second point I want to make is that if you believe in a supernatural God and you start to walk in the supernatural, if you start to walk in that supernatural glory of God, you're going to receive persecution from the world. The world is going to hate you. The world is going to persecute you, just as it did Jesus Christ. And so get ready for that. If you step out in faith and believe for a supernatural God and you start to call on God to heal and you start to question the world's way of doing things, God is going to show up for you and you will be persecuted by the world. Acts 4:17, this is what happened to the disciples and the apostles. Peter was dragged before the rulers and the elders and the scribes, and Acts 4:17 says, "But so that it spreads no farther among the people, let us severely threaten them," that is, let us severely threaten Peter, "that from now on they speak to no man in the name of Jesus." And so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Well, this isn't surprising to Jesus. This isn't surprising to Peter and John. This isn't surprising to me, and it shouldn't be surprising to you, if you start to believe in a supernatural God and you step out and you start to pray for people and believe for healing, you're going to be persecuted. If you believe for miracles, you're going to be persecuted, because a lot of people don't want to see a supernatural miracle working God working in the lives of themselves or others. John 15:18, Jesus told the disciples, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." So, beloved, get ready. Get ready. If you are moving in the supernatural, if you're moving alongside the miraculous working God, you're going to get hated by the world. There's people in this world that do not want to see a miraculous God. They don't want to receive a miraculous God. They're very happy. Even Christians, even Bible-believing Christians who are church-going Christians, they don't want to see a miracle-working God. They don't want to see a supernatural God. They're very comfortable with a God who has no power. They're very comfortable with a God who is not a supernatural God. And it gives them a feeling of control, of knowing that God is in a box and he's not going to do anything extraordinary, and he's not going to do anything that would cause any ripples or any shakings or tremblings. And so they're very comfortable with a neutered God, a powerless God, and that is not the God that we want to serve. In Matthew 5:11, Jesus also told the people there at the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets before you." Well, if you can rejoice and be exceedingly glad when you're persecuted, that is taking a great step. You praise God. You say, "Thank you, Lord, for the persecution. Now I'm numbered with the prophets." You say, "Thank you, Lord. I appreciate the persecution, because now I know I'm worthy, just as the prophets were worthy and just as you, Jesus, were worthy." And so, beloved, I urge you to give thanks to the Lord in every situation. I urge you to praise God no matter how difficult the trials and tribulations, and I urge you to step out without fear in whatever God is calling you to step out into, so that you will move the kingdom of God forward and just accept the fact that you're going to be persecuted, even by believers, even by well-meaning Christians. You're going to be persecuted for believing in that supernatural God and for wanting to see signs, wonders, and miracles. And Peter offered up this prayer in Acts 4:29. He offered up this prayer, and I would encourage you also to not let persecution deter you, not let persecution slow you down, not let persecution hold you back. Do not fear man. Go right ahead and minister in whatever way God has called you to minister. Go right ahead and speak the word of truth. Go right ahead and pray for people and believe for signs, wonders, and miracles. Go right ahead and step out in faith and ask God to show up in a miraculous way in whatever situation he has you in. And if you do that, then you're not going to let the devil hold you back. In Acts 4:29, this is the prayer that Peter offered up. "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And so Peter proclaimed the name of Jesus in his prayer. He proclaimed the name of Jesus when he prayed for people to be healed, and he believed that God was able to heal, and so he went forward with boldness, and he prayed, "Lord, let us not look upon their threats and receive their threats, but grant us with all boldness that we may speak your word and that signs, wonders, and miracles may be done through your name and through the name of the Holy Servant, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Well, beloved, I love to see the whole place shaken. I love to see every single person shaken by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love to preach in the prisons and in revival settings where people are shaken and people are given that power of the Holy Spirit and baptized in the Spirit and brought to the Lord in a way that they never have encountered the Lord before. It just gives me such a thrill to do that. And I pray that you would also put yourself in that position to be able to see the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Lord God Almighty, that supernatural, miracle-working God. I pray that you put yourself in a position to see that. Maybe spend some time in prayer. Maybe spend some time in fasting. Maybe go to some meetings. Some revival meetings are starting to break out all over this country. A spirit of revival is starting to happen, and it has been unleashed in this country. At the same time, a spirit of lawlessness is coming out of Washington, D.C. There's a spirit of revival that's being unleashed in America to bring a stirring of the Holy Spirit, to bring a stirring of a new wave of the Holy Spirit across this nation. And it's going to affect you, it's going to affect me, it's going to affect every believer, and every single person who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And every single person who calls upon the name of the Lord for healing is going to receive some type of healing. And I believe that, beloved. I believe that. I believe you're going to see it right here in this place. And wherever this message is preached, you're going to see it. And so start thanking God for that unleashing of His revival spirit. Start thanking God for unleashing that healing power, that miraculous power, and as you start to see it happen in your life, other people will see it, and they too will fear the Lord, and they too will come to know the living God as their Lord and Savior. Well, beloved, we are going to Africa this summer. I know some of you out there have heard me speak about this before, but I'm going to spend a few minutes today talking about it. I pray that each and every one of you would consider going to Africa with Gather the Outcast Ministry. We're going to be spending 2 weeks in Kenya at the Living Water Orphanage site out in West Kenya. And I pray that you would consider going. If you have any desire to go to Africa, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. That's pureprairie@hotmail.com. Email me, and I will get a complete trip itinerary to you. And you can look it over and pray about whether you would like to go to Africa. We're going to be spending 2 weeks at the orphanage site doing some work on the orphanage. You don't have to be a strong physical specimen. You don't have to be in great condition. You don't have to know anything about construction or have any great construction skills. You'll be able to plug in and work at whatever pace you want and whatever skill level you have. We just need some willing hearts to go there and people who want to see the kingdom of God move forward in Africa and in Kenya at the Living Water Orphanage site. And then at the end of the 2 weeks, we're going to spend a couple of days at the Masai Mara, the big wildlife refuge out in southern Kenya. And you'll be able to go on a photography safari, and you'll be able to take pictures of the lions and the elephants and giraffes and the cheetahs and all those beautiful animals out there in their native natural habitat, and you will be excited to see that. We're going to be staying in hotels every step of the way. There'll be clean and sanitary hotels, good food, and so this is a trip that you are not going to want to miss, and this is a trip that I pray you would consider. And if you email me, I'll get you the costs, I'll get you the dates and the times. We're going to be leaving in July. And so I think many of you out there listening to me today would enjoy this trip, and it will be a blessing to you, and it will be a blessing to the kingdom of God. We also have a book offer that we're going to be offering to you if you make a donation of any amount to Gather the Outcast Ministry. And so I pray that you would consider your part in partnering with this ministry, coming alongside and helping to support the orphanage project, helping to support the Crusades. I pray that you would consider writing out a check to underwrite one of the Crusades. I'm going to be going to Burundi and to Congo and to Kilifi on the coast of Kenya and preaching Crusades this summer. And so I pray that you would consider your part in partnering with this ministry and helping see these Crusades come to pass in Africa. Once again, the contact information is coming up. I thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.